donate, and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. And Trevor Cain happens to be one of those January Sixers, and he really don't want to go to jail, okay? He's trying to stay out of there, but he needs some help because you got to pay lawyers, right?
That's right.
And they don't work cheap, do they?
That's right, yeah. Thankfully, God just provided a great lawyer for me down in D.C. And but, yeah, it's he's done a number of these January 6 cases. But, yeah, so that is my hour of need. That's my need right now for legal fees to pay for my lawyer to help me to fight this. And a key point is that they're trying to charge so many of us January 6ers who peacefully went through the building with this thing called an obstruction of official proceeding. And it's from the Enron case and has nothing to do with, in my view, of course, this is all my opinion, by the way. But in my view, has nothing to do with being in a building. It's from the Enron case that has to do with, and this is my lawyer's opinion and also one of the judges down there, Judge Nichols, is that it is has to do with destroying documents. It has nothing to do with just being in a building and trespassing, something of that nature. But that's really the craziest one, is that they're charging us with a felony of just exercising our rights. We, you know, we thought we had a right to be there, peacefully walk through. You know, unfortunately, I naively thought, hey, I never heard anybody getting arrested for pounding on the doors. You know, remember when they were trying to get Judge Kavanaugh, they were trying to get in there screaming crazy. You never heard about any of them called insurrectionists. You never heard about any of them being called anything or charged with a felony for the obstruction of official proceeding. That's because it's never been used before. This is the first time they're doing it. And maybe those people got charged, maybe they didn't. But the point is, it's rules for thee, not for me. And we know a lot about that, obviously, from 2020. So, but yeah, givesingo.com is a great Christian crowdfund where people have great campaigns. And it's an awesome website that got huge because, you know, they were silencing some of the other ones that Christians were trying to use on our Patriots on GoFundMe, and they'd be canceled off of there. But givesingo.com, and you can just search or do / Trevor Cain or search Trevor Cain, TrevorCain, and then give as you feel led, and I'm grateful for anything. Anything helps.
So givesingo.com, that's givesingo.com. And in fact, I need to write that down myself.
Yeah.
And with that, we're going to, first of all, let's see if we can ask, how many genders do you think there are?
Well, there's...
Joe, how many genders?
Two. Yes, sir.
So then, what is a demigender, Joe?
Hey, you got me there.
Okay. We're going to ask and see, because Matt Getz, he doesn't know either, but... he wants to ask the Air Force General, because, see, the Biden regime's come up with all of these things, right? They got all kinds of different genders out there. We're not sure what Kamala Harris is, okay? What kind of gender she is, okay? Maybe a gender bender. I don't know, okay? But anyhow, go ahead and play the clip.
A diverse and inclusive force is a war-fighting imperative. This is on a slide at the Air Force Academy. General Clark, do you agree with that statement?
I do agree with that statement, sir.
So, I mean, were the Mongols diverse?
Well, sir, I'm not really as versed on Mongol warfighting as
how about the
U.S.
Vikings?
Warfighting.
Were the Vikings diverse?
Again, sir, I'm looking at our country, the most diverse country in the world.
Sure, but this is about a warfighting imperative. How about the force in Ukraine? Are the Ukrainians fighting the Russians a diverse force?
Sir, once again, my concern is the people that I'm charged to build into leaders.
But you would acknowledge that throughout history, including present history, that statement hasn't borne true in every example, right?
Sir, what I would say is that those countries have to rely on the full force of their population to build a war-fighting force to win our wars, and that's why it's important for us to be diverse because
sure,
our nation.
So let's look at the population that actually makes up the fighting force frequently. Now we have more men than women, right? 70-30-ish?
That's right. Correct.
And of the men we have, most of them are not transgender men. Most of them are cisgender men, right?
Yes, sir.
But yet at our academies, we push something called the Brooke Owens Fellowship. Are you familiar with that?
I am, yes, sir.
And in that fellowship, it specifically says, if you are a cisgender man, this program isn't for you. So you just said that your answer on why we do such this full hug of these diversity concepts is because it's all about the fighting force that we draw from, but you're literally pushing a program in the academies that says, if you're a cisgender woman, a transgender woman, a non-binary, agender, bigender, two-spirit, demigender, what's demigender?
Sir, that's a term of the people that are eligible for that particular scholarship that
yeah,
is available
a person?
To it's a person who looks at their gender in a different way than I do, sir.
Well, sure, that's all of these people. You're a cisgender man, you don't even get to apply.
Well,
do you know what demigender really means?
I'm not really sure, sir.
Right. So do you know what agender means? All one word, not a space gender, but agender.
Sir, I don't.
Right. So here we are pushing a fellowship, calling for people that you don't even know what the words mean. And the number one group of people, the cisgender men, are excluded. Now, in the name of diversity, equity, and inclusion, should we be pushing programs that we can't define that exclude the largest group of service members?
Well, sir, first, that program is not an Air Force Academy program. It's a program open to our entire country.
Right,
so
but
we
you guys advocate for it within the academy.
We allow our cadets to apply for it.
Why are you allowing your cadets to apply for a program when you cannot define the basic terms of eligibility?
Because it's an opportunity for us to develop them as warfighters, and we look for every opportunity that we can.
But you don't even know what the words mean. How can you use this as a way to develop the warfighters if you don't know what it means?
Well, some of those terms may not be applicable to us at the Air Force Academy, but some are.
But if you don't know what they mean, it's hard to tell if they're applicable or not. So I think one of the reasons why some of this stuff has gotten into the academies is because we don't have the same oversight from the Board of Visitors. And, Mr. Chairman, I seek unanimous consent to enter into the record an article from the Washington Examiner entitled, "To Push Woke Ideology, Biden Illegally Gutted Military Academy Oversight Boards." And so in this piece, it goes through a timeline where on September 8th, 2021, all of President Trump's appointees were fired. On September 17th, Secretary Austin created Board of Visitors subcommittees, and then he populated those subcommittees with people who weren't on the Board of Visitors. Have you ever seen that happen before?
Sir, our Board of Visitors is populated and supports us in great fashion.
Right. So. What about the subcommittee? Are there people on the Board of Visitors subcommittees who are not on the Board of Visitors?
I can't answer that, sir.
Seems like something we ought to know.
I'm not sure.
Right, but that would be odd, right? I mean, let me ask the question this way. You don't have any basis to disagree with the reporting here in the Washington Examiner that literally we have people who are not on the Board of Visitors who are serving on these subcommittees. You have no basis to disagree with that, do you?
Sir, I'm not exactly sure the question you're asking. So I'll have to take that for record so I can understand what you're asking.
Thank you, Mr.
Representative Escobar.
Remember, Joe, how much simpler and easier life was when we only had two genders?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, like, Joe, when you were a young man and you decided to get married, there wasn't a question what you were going to marry, right?
No.
You're going to marry a woman, huh?
Amen.
And back in those days, that was the only choice you really had, right?
Yeah.
And you didn't want anything other than that. Okay?
Not really.
Yeah. And so now, here, these trans things... These transgenders, mm-hmm. if you go into the military now, they're given special treatments. They don't have to fight. They don't have to be deployed.
Yeah.
So if you're a transgender, you go in there. They'll say, come on in the military. You don't have to fight. All you have to do is get in here. Taxpayers will pay your way, and you'll help weaken our military even more. Right?
Yeah.
This Do you see this? I see this myself as an act of war. I see it as an act of war. I see it as destroying our military, yeah. Going against our Constitution. Yeah. So Hillary Clinton said, if Donald Trump is reelected, we're all going to hang. Why do you think she said that?
She said that recently?
She said that a year ago.
Ah.
So, why do you think she said that? What do you think it is that Donald Trump knows now? Remember, see, Trump hasn't just been twiddling his thumbs. He's had, he's a very wealthy man, and he's had some very, very...
Because they always accuse us of what they are.
Well, he's had people looking into finding out, vetting, and finding out just who the traitors were, okay? And so now he has a much, much better idea of who they are and who they're not, okay? And this is why he's saying that he will go after and he will eliminate the deep state, okay? We see right away Merrick Garland. We see Chris Wray. We see that these people have openly betrayed America, what they have done, and lied under oath. Merrick Garland has lied under oath time and time again. Now, what's happened when they when you bring down Hunter Biden, Joe's going with him, isn't he? You see, this is what Hillary was talking about, because they're all involved in this cabal, all ripping off the American people. We talked about it before. All of these arms that we're sending to Ukraine, you know, he's sending all of our ammunition over there. These arms get sold right away on the black market. Most of those guns and that never get to the soldiers in the battlefield. Most of them are bought off right there. The whole thing is so corrupt. Listen.
The media is, you know, they're telling us, you know, the truth. You know, they're telling us the truth now, even though they weren't telling us the truth before, you know, so we got to believe them.
Well, no, what they'll do is called trickle truth. Look. It's when they've lost all credibility, when it's when a story that they've tried to suppress has gotten out. Once it's gotten out, it's just like what we do. We bring things out here. People will say, well, how do you guys know? In fact, I actually had a woman call in live on a radio program and accuse me of being a communist because you always know what's happening before everybody else. How do you know it, okay? How do you know what the communists are going to do before those people in the mainstream? Well, we don't. They know, like we know, our job is to get the word out to you. Their job is to suppress the word, that it doesn't get to you.
And remember when Ukraine happened, that all the COVID fear just went from level 10 to just 5 to almost non-existent after the war started?
Yeah.
That was, yeah, and then they needed that Ukrainian the media needed that Ukrainian conflict to try to save face. That no, they wouldn't dare, even though they were deceiving everybody about COVID. No, that they wouldn't do that about a war zone, but it's shown that they have.
Right. Well, they use a lot of that stuff to get your attention off what they're doing here at home too. Okay. And this whole thing too, you know, with the double standards, now they have, but Biden has made a career of selling America. He's made a career of this.
It's unbelievable.
Joe, okay, it's all coming out now. Joe's cooked. I think Joe is finished on this, okay? It'll all get to him. Now, what happens is
we called him transgesters, by the way. Yeah.
Transgester?
Yeah, transgesters. Hey, transgester.
We're going to open the phone lines and take some calls. So, folks, if you have any question, comment, if you want to know how you can get Joe Marshall with your church with those signs, and he brings out a lot of signs, him and his wife Cindy, and you can see him at the Doers of the Word Baptist Church, and then you can see him over at our pavilion. We got him everywhere. And so if you have a question or comment, give us a call here, or you can call Joe. You can call Joe at 330-571-3183, 330-571-3183
to get AV. AVSignMinistry.com.
AVSignMinistry.com. And give them a call, folks. Let me tell you, they'll come out to your church And boy, the gospel, it's the word of God, the living word of God. So we're going to open the phone lines at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you have a question or a comment for our guests here tonight or for me, give us a call. And maybe you know, maybe you're the person that knows what a demigender is, right? If you know what a demi, maybe that's dummy gender. Oh, wait a minute. Dummy gender, yes. Oh, my, what's wrong with me? Most of Congress. You would say most of Congress could be dummy genders, right? Okay.
And that clip got me thinking of communist China, you know, their color revolution that they had. And, you know, this stuff is just chilling. You know, anytime you meet somebody who escaped from communist country, they'll light you up real quick about truth and how much it's how important America is. And, one of my good buddies, local guy, Horatio, he escaped communist Romania, and he's the biggest patriot you'll find, you know. So it's, but in communist China, they made them all look genderless. When you were a young Chinese revolutionary, they'd shave your head. Boys and girls, you couldn't really tell the difference. So, see, you know, this stuff keeps repeating itself.
Well, let me tell you what, they can tell the difference. See, these Chinese, they have many more men than they do women, and the reason for that is because they were allowed to have a one-child policy, and in China, for every baby boy that was born alive, seven girls were killed. Mm. So the boys were seven to one.
They're
over
good
the
folks,
girls.
Though, folks.
Pardon?
They're good folks, though, folks. Remember that, Pastor, when Biden said that about the Chinese communists?
Yeah, well, you know, Hillary Clinton went over to China, and she said that policy of, remember, now Hillary's for the women, that policy of killing seven little girls for every boy was a good policy. That's Hillary. Wow. Okay, so, all right, let's go. Now, Clifford is in the air. Hey, Cliff.
Yeah, I'll have two questions. Also, just one quick thing on the supplements, the curcumin, which is a suggestion for the people that took the shots. If you go to Google Scholar and look up neurotransmitters, it says it can bring about the genesis of new neurons in the frontal cortex. So that's something that's pretty good, for the brain. They didn't even think that could happen, like in the 70s, where you could generate new neurons.
Do you think, wait a minute, so do you think the morons need to generate the neurons? Because do you think that was so big in Congress today?
It would help anybody, right? Especially across the board. But I have two thoughts I wanted to bring up to your guests. One would be, and this ties in slightly with the AI, I was looking at some. I think it was 9, just the last two verses where, they would think themselves more than men, that they would think themselves as just men. But one theme I want to ask about is just coming across common everyday arrogance. I think that you want someone to be confident if they're your lawyer, if you need a good lawyer. You want a good, confident QB. But it just seems that so many people have a bizarre sense of arrogance now. So that would be my first question. My second question would be about connecting dots. Why some dots are just not at all connected, even in the big picture. Now, for example, they talk about nuclear, possibly Russia nuking, bringing out the nukes. And I say, well, this hasn't happened since Hiroshima, but that's not true. They've been testing nuclear bombs over ground, in the 60s massively. You had in the 50s, they detonated that Castle Bravo on an island in the Pacific. Atoll that was 1,000 times the TNT of what was dropped on Hiroshima. And so it's just a matter of bringing it over a population. They have been exploding nuclear bombs. So that's, to me, a big missing dot. So I'd like to ask about that, where people are just missing dots. Like even what you guys just said about the King James Bible and about that one verse from 1 John being missing. I did not know that. That's a pretty big dot.
Oh, there's a lot of they've removed a lot of verses out of the NIV and the ASV. A lot of them, actually, like I said, 64,000 words have been taken out of the King James Bible.
Yeah,
and so a lot has been removed. But anyhow, what you were referring to, your question about the arrogance. That you see, you find the answer to that in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It tells you exactly when you're going to see that, and it refers to in the last days. It was very specific on the last part of the sixth dispensation period is referring to. You also find the answer to that in Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 18 through the end of that, you'll find the answer to that question. As far as Psalms 9 goes, arise, O Lord, let man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. This is a precatory prayer. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. And that's going to take place, and sooner than a lot of people want it to. All right, but thanks anyhow. Thanks for calling, Cliff. Let's go to Vince out in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Good evening. Good evening. Thank you. Is there any biblical verses to differentiate between the soul and the spirit? Because I hear it preached many times or said many times, but I just don't see there's a differentiation.
Okay. Couldn't quite understand what he said. Do you? Could you, Joe?
Is there any biblical differences which show the difference between the soul and the spirit?
Are there biblical differences? Well, yeah. The soul is who you are. If you go through the Bible and it mentions 21 souls this day or this and that, the soul is your personality. That's your personality. That's who you are.
Where do you find that?
Well, you find it all through Scripture where it refers to this individual or that individual. It's not referring to just a human being, but it's referring to who they are. Okay, that's who they are. Okay.
All right.
And then when you take a look at their spirit, okay, again, their spirit, that's their life force, that's their energy, that's energized by the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, okay, then your spirit, have you ever heard about breaking their spirit? You know, when they break horses, stallions, and they talk about you got to break its spirit. Okay, it's their energy, their life force. Well, our spirit is energized by the Holy Spirit Himself. Okay, and so that's our life force.
Okay, I really still don't see the difference.
Go to Hebrews chapter 4, read verse 12 and 13.
All right, I will.
All righty.
Brother Ernie, there's one other verse that comes to mind. I pray, Paul said, I pray your whole soul, body, and spirit be preserved. And I think it goes like, it's be preserved from the day of the Lord.
Right.
Talks about your, I pray that your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved. It goes like that.
Be preserved, right. Your body, your soul is who you are, and your spirit is your life force, yeah. Yeah, you got to pull that mic over closer to you because
right.
See,
it's almost kind of like the God's mirror example in us with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit, and but they're all intertwined.
We're triune beings. Yeah, we are made in the image of God. Okay.
Yeah.
So we are triune beings. We have a body, soul, and a spirit. Yeah. So, you could not if you took away any part of that, we'd be less than human. If you remove the body, we wouldn't be a human. If you remove the soul, we wouldn't be a human.
Just like Jesus.
Right. Well,
yeah. Wow.
With the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you see from Genesis to Revelation, you see the Father always giving the marching orders. You see the Son always carrying it out. And you see the Holy Ghost always providing the power. It's from Genesis to Revelation, you see that, okay? And so whenever it's referring to the Lord, okay, that's the Lord Jesus, okay? When it refers specifically to the Father or God, it can refer to the Trinity, okay? Or when it refers to the Holy Spirit individually, you see that. So phone lines are open. If you have a question or comment, call 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. If you have a question or a comment, again, tell the folks, again, Trevor, how they can help you.
Yeah, givesendgo.com. That's givesendgo.com/TrevorCain, TrevorCain. And you can just type my name in the search bar as well, or slash after givesendgo.com/TrevorCain. And anything you can give to my legal defense for this would be much appreciated. All the what I've raised so far has been so encouraging. I need 30 grand to be able to fight this long haul, and by the grace of God, we're just going to get more and more victories, and this obstruction of an official proceeding will be overturned at the Supreme Court, and it will be deemed unconstitutional. Just thankfully, like we've been on a good roll with Roe v. Wade, and what was just recently with the affirmative action. So I think all the justices will see that this using obstruction of official proceeding was from the Enron case and has nothing to do with just being in a building that you were not supposed to be in at a time, or parading or picketing is what I'm charged with as well. And so it's the obstruction of official proceeding is something that I think folks really need to realize is just beyond the pale, far afield, as it says here in this article, just using a statute that has nothing to do with what people were doing in the building that day.
Now, let me ask you this. Has there ever been 2 million people march on D.C. before because they felt that their vote was stolen from them, that there was a total election fraud?
It was unprecedented.
It was unprecedented. So you had 2 million people out there marching on D.C. The message that they wanted to send was the fact that, no, you're not going to get away with it. No, not this time. Enough is enough. You're not going to get away with it. Now, this was set up. This whole thing was a false flag operation from the word go. Trump knows from top to bottom who they all are now. See, they know that. See, he went in before. He wasn't quite ready, and he's admitted he wasn't quite ready for him.
Mm-hmm.
But now he knows, and this is why they're so afraid of him, because they know that. They know if he gets back in, the innocent will be let out of that jail. Now, if Trump gets back in, how many days do you think it'll take him to pardon every one of the January 6ers?
By the grace of God, not more than one or two.
Yeah, about the first day. All right, we have Rob. Robin, I don't know where Rob. Where? In Euclid. Rob, you're in the air.
Oh, hello, Pastor. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. How are you, Rob?
Okay, I'm good. Well, I've been better, but I'm okay. I had a question for you, just an observation. I waste entirely too much time on social media, and I have noticed a trend, and I'm just wondering if you or any of your guests or any of your, you know, friends have noticed this thing, too. There is an awful lot of references to UFOs, okay? Now, I have always been of the opinion that When the rapture should happen, that might be one of the reasons that the establishment would try to make us believe what happened when all these people disappeared. I'm just wondering if you've noticed the increase in articles about UFOs.
Well, I think what's happening, if you take a look at What are all of the signs? And you've had these people that have said, have told you that they've been taken up or captured and taken into these spaceships or whatever. There's something going on out there. As far as I'm concerned, it's all demonic. It's all demonic. If you look at, there's nothing positive that comes out of any of this. It's all very, very negative, where they experimented on people. And a lot of this, I think, is being done just for reactions to see how people are going to react to it, okay? So now, is there out there in space someplace other life forces? There may well be, but we do know for a fact that there are demonic forces, and they're limited to the first and second heaven, okay? They're there. And out there, that second heaven is where the moon and the sun and the stars are, and we know that demonic forces out there have access to all of that. And this is where all that's taking place, right? So that's what I believe all of that is. You know, when they're talking about that we have bodies of these creatures, that may well be, okay? But again, I believe it goes back to demonic forces and, you know, what, you know, all the way back to Genesis 6. So, what do you think?
It would be the demonic forces, but my question was actually, is if you think that was just part of trying to influence people in their thinking that once the rapture should occur and all these people that they knew were gone, that they would try to blame that on UFOs?
Well, they, for a long time, the so-called, they've been teaching out there in the occult that the Antichrist is going to, he is going to remove the unbelievers. He's going to purge the unbelievers before he returns back. So that's what they'll be telling you, that before the Christ, the Messiah, really comes back, he's going to take out all the unbelievers. That's been a part of their propaganda machine from the beginning. Remember, it's common practice. Always accuse the opposition of doing what you're doing. And in this case, what they're doing is they're going to say that we, when the rapture takes place, that the earth was cleansed of the unbelievers. But there you go. All right, thanks for calling. We'll be back after this. Little girl lay dying. She was only 8 years old. She said, "I want to see the preacher." So they left them alone. "Will you make me a promise?" She said, as he walked in. He said, "Tell me what I can do." This to him.
"Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Tell Mom and Dad about heaven above, heaven they can see me there. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, tell them all he's done for them. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them."
She said, "I know I'm dying, but that's not why I'm sad. I know I'll go to heaven, but what about Mom and Dad? I told them about Jesus, but I could not make them see. So when they come to my funeral, would you do this for me?"
"Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above. Tell them they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please. So I'll see them.
Said they dropped me off at Sunday school, and I'm so glad they did. But how great it would have to be in a church service with them. She said, promise me you'll tell them. As she faded off to sleep, he said, sweetheart, don't worry. That's a promise that I'll keep.
Tell mom and dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above. Tell them they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please. So I'll see them again. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please. So I'll see them again.
All right, tell mom and dad about Jesus. In fact, that's what those signs that you do. They tell mom and dad about Jesus, don't they?
Amen.
Okay. That's what it's really... Let me ask you this, when it comes down to it in the end. Can you ever do anything that'll matter as much to you as repenting of your sins and asking the Lord into your life?
No.
Nothing you could ever do, nothing you would ever do, no. Could even begin to matter as much, huh?
No.
All righty. Phone lines are open. We've kind of been wondering here, if you're out there and if you know them demigenders, if you know a demigender, we'd like to know that demigender. Maybe you are a demigender. Give us a call, 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. They've got all kinds of new strange things out there, huh?
Oh, wow.
And folks, so... what is the other one? The binary, okay. Do you know any binaries?
I don't even know what one is.
Okay.
There's binary stars.
You know, okay. Yeah, I don't know. There are these binary people out there. I've never come across one, but I think they're in the media. I think the media has a lot of those binaries, okay.
Well, the LGBTQ... IA, I think now, you know, there's a plus in there. Nobody knows what the plus is, but the A, that one guy was making a funny joke that A stands for asexual. He's like, don't you think those guys would be pretty annoyed? Like, they're asexual. They don't want to be lumped in with all the weirdos on the LGBTQ thing. Like, well, that's what the point. They're not into any of this.
There's two. One is lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers, LGBTQ. That's lewd, gross, belligerent, okay. The other is, this pastor says, let God burn them quickly, okay. That'll happen, right? Unless it's repentance. What did Jesus say? Repent or?
Perish.
Repent or perish, okay.
Well, you know, I'm a big grace guy, but, you know, a lot of this has helped wake me up, Pastor, because, you know, I was kind of going... I don't know. I just think grace is obviously without the grace of the Lord, what do we got? But
yep.
I don't want to say I was like going progressive evangelical, even though it's crazy how many of them are out there right now, you know, where they're really deceiving people. If you really believe in the grace of God, you believe like God loves and perfectly accepts transgender, LGBT and everything. And it's so deceptive because it's like, yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, of course God loves and accepts everybody. But if he actually loves you, would he want you to be in your right mind? Of course he would not want his little children to think that they are a boy when he made them a girl, or vice versa. And that's what I think is so deceptive about our day and age, is that they're using your desire to be gracious and my desire to be gracious against us.
Yeah.
And they're making it. They started with gay marriage and that type of stuff, and they're making it into this thing that you're not a real Christian if you don't accept these people. And it's just, it's so deceptive, because it does hurt. Like,
okay, here's where that all stems from. Biblical illiteracy. Sure. See, now, to say that, first of all, did you ever see a really, really tall, short, fat, skinny guy? Okay. I mean, right? I mean, you can do that nowadays because nothing really matters, okay? There's no intelligence. There's no such thing as gay marriage.
That's
God
right.
gave us the first divine institution of marriage in the family. And when he did that, he gave us the definition. See, God gave us that. He named it. And the definition is one man, one woman for one lifetime, right? That's what God says. See, he gave us, so he gives you the definition. He knows what marriage is. What they call gay marriage, God calls an abomination. And an old Hebrew definition of an abomination is the stench of rotting flesh in the nostrils of a holy God. That's not a good thing at all, okay?
Wow.
Or the other thing, he calls it adultery, okay? Fornication, okay? So that's what they call gay marriage.
Yeah.
You see, and so all of these things, that they're illusion. He tells you in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4, God will choose their delusion. He will choose. Now, he's chosen their delusion, hasn't he? This is why they're coming up with all of these strange things, these binary people, okay? There's no such thing as a binary people, okay? These things, what they're calling transgender, okay? These people are, they're delusionary. They're delusionary, all right? God only made two. Well, they're saying now it's because now you see, a transgender woman can have a baby because she's a woman that has become a man. Well, you see, listen to this. You see, this is deep. Okay, this is really deep. Okay, if you are having a baby, you're not a man. What do you think? I mean, is that deep?
Yeah, that's deep.
If you give birth, you're not a man, right? Because men don't give birth, right?
Yeah.
Now, they have these things that they
do not, and we could not. We would. Yeah. That's what I've told my wife before. If it was up to us for men to give birth, we would have been sunk thousands and thousands of years ago.
You're living in a society that's become completely and totally delusionary. Okay.
You know, I was talking to
a guy.
I was talking to this guy one day, and I asked him if he was saved. He was a Christian. He says, "Yeah." He says, "I'm a Christian." He says, "I'm a Christian homosexual." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Have you ever read Romans chapter 1?" He says, "No, I don't think so." And I said, "So I gave him my Bible and I said, read this chapter." And I went into the other room, you know, where it says, men working with men, that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which is meat, and even the women to change the natural use, which is against nature. And then it's reiterated there in 1 Corinthians 6:9, where it says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, the sissy side of homosexuality. Then you have the abusers of themselves with mankind, the masculine side of homosexuality, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then in Leviticus, it reiterates the statement where it says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. But this gentleman, he thought he, you know, that's the philosophy going around today, that guys can be Christian and be a homosexual. It's impossible. You cannot be a Christian and be a homosexual. Now, God loves homosexuals. He loves the person, but he hates sin. And God can save homosexuals. People have this feeling, well, God can't save a homosexual. Oh, yes, he can. He can save anybody. Christ died for the ungodly. You know, Pastor, there is a church out in San Francisco where it is literally filled with gay people that have been saved. Even the pastor was gay and was saved. Okay, God can save anybody. Now some have been turned over to reprobate minds, but I know some church going people have probably been turned over to reprobate minds too. We don't know who's been turned over to reprobate mind, but God can save anybody if they'll just simply, you know, He can do it. He's got the power. Christ died for the ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
He saved me. I know that He can save anybody. You know,
right.
Yeah.
So then when you hear these people say that, well, my God is tolerance and He's not judgmental, okay? My God accepts you just the way you are, and He loves you. Now, that's not what the Bible says. The fact of it is, you know, the Bible says there's some people God hates, okay? In fact, He hates all of those that commit iniquity. He hates those whose feet run swiftly to mischief.
Mm.
He hates those whose hands shed innocent blood. Over in Romans 9, He says, "Does not Jacob I love, but Esau have I not hated?" Okay, so there's times where He, because people refuse to repent, okay, of that sin. Now, when it comes to tolerance, the most intolerant man that ever walked the face of the earth, where it comes to the sin, like you talked about, was the Lord Jesus Himself. When a woman was taken in adultery, He didn't tell her, don't go and sin, maybe not so much, did He? No. He said, go and sin no more, right?
Yep.
Zero tolerance,
yep,
okay?
Yep.
And so these people that are telling you, and I was watching Fox News, and they have some homosexuals on there, and they talk about how it's a show of Christian love to accept and to tolerate this.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a show of Christian love at all, okay?
Mm-hmm.
To accept that, what is that a show of? It's mm-hmm. it's a show of compromise and sin, right? Mm-hmm. What does He tell you in Romans 12, 2? Be not conformed to the world, does He not?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a show of conformity?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We are, Joe, you've got, how much time do we have? Joe, I'm going to give you guys 6 minutes, actually about 5 minutes, to tell folks how they can get to heaven and they can avoid hell. So.
Okay. Well, I'm glad God saved this sinner right here sitting here today about 48 years ago. And I want to testify today, tonight, Pastor, that, excuse me, I was a 10-year drunken, dope-dealing whoremonger, 5-year heroin addict, and Roman Catholic, never read the Bible, never saw a Bible, and a girl that I partied with left a New Testament outside my door when I was 27 years old. Few people had witnessed to me about the Lord. I even read a couple Christian books that people gave me, but I still wasn't saved. And so when I was 27 years old, this girl that I partied with left a New Testament outside my door one day, and I thought to myself, I'm going to try reading the Bible. Maybe that'll do something for, because the old Roman Catholics, we never read the Bible. I mean, we had catechisms, we had rosaries, we had all kinds of religious paraphernalia, but no Bible. I never saw a Bible in my home. My mom was very religious. So I thought, well, I'm going to try reading the New Testament. And I picked up that New Testament. I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. And I was up in the book of Romans, and God put it on me. Started bringing me under conviction of my sin there in Romans chapter 1. It got worse in Romans chapter 2. It got worser in Romans chapter 3. I read in Romans 3 where it said, there's none righteous.
No, not one.
There's none that understand it. There's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of their way. They're altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. And God put it on me that night. I said, Joe, that's you. I read Romans 3:19 where it says, all the world is guilty before God. And God put it on me and said, Joe, that's you. You're guilty. I said, you're right, Lord, but what am I going to do, you know? And then I read Romans 3:20 where it says, because we're guilty, in verse 19, it says, by the deeds of the law, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. I thought to myself, now, wait a minute. If I'm a sinner and I'm going to hell because of my sin and I'm guilty before God, I can't get there by keeping the Ten Commandments or any kind of religious rigmarole. Just how are you supposed to get to heaven? Well, God showed me on the next series of verses, Pastor. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, the Old Testament. Even the righteousness of God, which is by what? Faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God saved me on this verse, Romans 3:24, 48 years ago. The verse goes, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I read that verse. I realized me, a no good, dirty, rotten sinner, could be justified freely by believing on Jesus Christ, Pastor. And I did, and I felt the Lord come in my heart that night. And guess what? My life's never been the same since. And I could testify tonight, I ain't had a needle in my arm, smoked a joint, or drunk a beer, or said darn, or a Hail Mary in 48 years, all through the Lord Jesus Christ. People say, you did good, Joe. You didn't know. Joe Marshall couldn't get to first base. If they'd have had fentanyl back then, I'd have been dead as a doornail. Thank God the dope wasn't that good back then. But God saved me then 48 years ago and delivered me from a life of sin and drug addiction and just depravity. And he changed me. And it's great to have that peace in your heart. It's great to know your sins are forgiven. It's great to have a home in heaven.
Amen to that. All right, folks, I want to remind you what Joe is talking about here. These signs that he has, you got to see them. Well, I mean, they are absolute dynamite. And like it says, it's whether it's the spoken or the written word of God. Going down, many times you've been riding down, going down the freeway, and you see a big billboard, and it's got gospel message on that. How many people do you think have wondered about that, or maybe at a time of their life right now when it was a low, a very low spot in their life, and thought, and that's that verse caused them to turn to the Word of God and caused them to repent.
Yeah,
these signs he has, believe me, they are dynamite. So I would give, if you'd like to have Joe and Cindy Marshall come out to your church with the AV sign ministry. His number is 330-571-3183. Now, if you want to see, get an example of what we're talking about, he will be at Doers of the Word Baptist Church on August 6th at 11 o'clock in the morning, and you will see these signs, okay? And Joe will come in, and he will be talking about, he was talking about the ministry, talking about the sign ministry, and tell some stories. A lot of people have been saved off these signs, and you have a whole long story to tell you about so many of those people. Amen?
Yep. Well, nobody's ever been saved without the Word of God. Nobody has ever been saved without the Word of God.
When you heard the word of your salvation, huh? When you heard the word of your salvation. Well, we're at the end of the program tonight, so I just want to say thank you guys for being here. Very quickly, one more time, Trevor, how can they help?
Hey, thank you, Pastor. Yes, it's givesendgo.com/TrevorCain, TrevorCain. And I'm from Colorado originally, so if there's any Colorado Patriots out there, please go and give so I can fight this thing.
Trevor Cain. Alrighty. Did you say 30? Okay. We're down to... Now we're down to about 20 seconds. And so when we get to this part, we always say, ready? Good night. Say good night.
Good night.
God bless. Say God bless.
God bless you.
God bless you.
And then we say always, always, always.
Always, always, always.
Keep fighting the fight.
Good fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery.
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.